I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now we visit with an artist whose name you might not know, but whose songs you have most certainly heard, especially if you watch television. Her songs have been part of the soundtrack for some of television's most talked about shows. She's performed on 30 Rock. Her music has been featured in programs like How I Met Your Mother, Nip Tuck, and Grey's Anatomy. And that might be because she is the total package. She has a deep, sultry voice, and her songwriting craftsmanship has her fingers on the pulse of every heartache. But you won't let me. You won't let me. I don't want to say goodbye. I just want to give it one more try. And I'd do anything. Yes, I'd do anything. If you'd only let me. That is You Won't Let Me from her latest album, Chesapeake. Now, Rachel Yamagata is touring the country to promote the new album, and she was nice enough to take a short break to stop by our studios in Washington, D.C. Welcome. I should say welcome back. Thank you for joining us
again. Thank you so much for having us.
Do you mind introducing us to the folks you brought with you?
Sure. We have Dan Carlisle, and we have Aaron Ficca, who's going to be joining us on some shaker. Dan is on some guitar. And then we have Brian Ewald also on guitar, and Mr. Mike Fiola also on guitar, and he'll do some piano as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you all for coming.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
And I mentioned welcome back because you actually visited with us in 2008.
Yes.
And a lot has changed since then. This new album you put out on your own, mm-hmm, without the backing of a major label. Talk a little bit about that decision. Can't be easy.
I spent quite a number of years on major labels and had a very interesting experience. We worked with a lot of creative people who I think really got me as an artist. And I think part of my difficulties arose when the industry really started going through all of these changes. So I did have struggles in terms of the time frame of my releases and things like that. And to sort of get out of that world has meant for me I can structure my own recordings and tours on a much faster level than I was able to do within that system. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of new hats to wear, but I'm having an amazing time doing it.
Okay, translate that for me. I thought, mm-hmm, you were going to say that there was pressure to kind of get the product out there, even if you weren't artistically ready.
Mm.
What I'm hearing you say is actually the opposite.
There was a
that
lot.
It was,
yeah,
too pokey.
It's really interesting. I think people are very fearful right now within the companies in terms of they need a sellable music. They need massive hits. The industry, I think, is in trouble in terms of how are they going to sustain the cost of things and make music off of money they're dealing with. And the way that it would affect somebody like me is I think a lot of people step in and start, I always compare it to like a painter. They start guiding your brush strokes, and it starts morphing the outcome of this vision that only you as the painter can have. And as soon as those things started happening, it really got frustrating because you start to second guess your own artistic instincts. So I'm very happy in the place that I am now doing it myself.
Well, something's working because, as we mentioned, you're very busy.
Thank you.
So thank,
yes,
you for coming in.
We're like,
of course. But I understand that you call your new label Frankenfish,
yeah,
which is a fish that can swim and walk on land.
Yes, yes, yes. This was the crazy joke of our entire recording process. We did a record in Easton, Maryland at our friend producer's house, John Alesia, and he lives right on the bay, and he would tell these stories about this fish and how they would find it washed up on golf courses, and it's a really ugly fish and crazy teeth. And I was actually really wanted to name the record Frankenfish. That was my original idea, and the guy stopped me, and they were like, no, these songs are very classic and have a beauty to them, and you'll regret it for your whole life. So I was like, okay, throw out another name. And someone yelled out Chesapeake, and I was like, that's got a beautiful name to it. And so Frankenfish turned out to be the record label name, which I think suits the underdog feel of you just don't know where they're going to strike kind of a thing.
So actually, Frankenfish eat the other fish. That's,
yeah,
why we don't like them. Not trying to
do
say
they
anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, how can we make that work?
Letting you know. So let's hear one of those songs from the new album.
Sure.
What are you going to like?
We'll start off with Even If I Don't. We're going to do a kind of a different version than on the record, but one of the first songs that made the record.
Well, that's a treat. So Even If I Don't, it's from Rachel Yamagata's new album, Chesapeake. If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with singer-songwriter Rachel Yamagata. We're talking about her new album, Chesapeake, and whatever else is on her mind. I have a question from one of our listeners. Actually, we let people know you were coming in. Big fan of yours for some time, but she wants to know why you sing more about separation than about finding love.
Mm.
And is it really that hard to find the right guy?
Oh, boy, these are big questions. you know, I think I focus on, you know, the separation or those challenges within love just because it's a specific representation of that feeling. And sometimes I describe it like maybe a doctor that's fascinated with finding a cure for a disease. And in some ways, they're always focused on the disease, but the ultimate goal is to find a cure. So I think I get very obsessed with what is and isn't working with the hopefulness that there's a better way for it to end up. So I feel actually very optimistic and hopeful and constantly studying relationships. And I don't think it's that hard to find the right person. That's what I believe. As long as you trust your instincts and each relationship is teaching you something different, and I don't have regrets of any relationship I've ever been in. So,
you know, that's a very interesting thought. You know, you're right. If a doctor were an oncologist, nobody would accuse him or her of being sad all the time because he spent a lot of time thinking about cancer.
Right.
Exactly. Why don't you just lighten up? What do you think of you? But I'm just cracking up, though. I'm looking at some of the headlines and some of the reviews around the album, which have been very positive. I hope you're pleased.
Thank
but maybe you don't read them. But one of the headlines says, a sad girl gets sort of happy. And then there's another one that says that the Philadelphia-based singer admits that now, at age 34, She's milling out the mistress of heartache bit.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness.
Well, do you think you're mistress of heartache?
I don't know. You know, it's somebody had a really funny way of saying it the other day. She said, your songs make me want to throw up my own heart. And I was like, what an interesting way of saying it. But it was a compliment. She was saying it sort of like you really get to the guts of something. But I don't feel that way as a person. I think it's very easy for me to write about those things because I am passionate about it. But I feel much happier in my daily life than I think people would assume, partially because I think I get out all of this stuff that churns inside of me in terms of emotional content and with these songs. I get to play them. I get to release it. So I write it down, and that's my own personal therapy or exorcism of sorts of these things that may have kept me in that world if I hadn't had a way to get them out. So,
okay, great. So let's hear something else. I think you want to play...
We'll do Deal Breaker.
Deal Breaker.
Next.
Okay, yeah. Here it is. Thank you. You may or may not want to talk about this, but there's you are of Japanese American heritage, mm-hmm. and you know there was this terrible earthquake and tsunami in Japan earlier this year, and a lot of your work focuses on the interior world. I was just wondering if an event like that, which mm-hmm. is so far beyond any of us as individuals, mm-hmm. does that find its way into the work some point?
Yes, it does. I wrote a song called Keep Going a couple months before, actually, I think, but it was along the lines of me wondering if I could step outside of sort of, as you said, my internal world and make a bit of a commentary towards what the rest of the world is going through. And my biggest parameter for those kinds of songs for me was that it had to sound authentic. I didn't want it to sound preachy or not genuine. So, but with all the things that are happening with sort of the world and the state of affairs, whether it's a natural disaster or something that we're creating for ourselves, I did come up with one song called Keep Going, which is really more of an encouragement to anyone who's gone through tragedies of whatever magnitude, and how we're all here to sort of help and guide each other and carry each other through things at different times.
Carrying me for a while. It's your turn to lend a hand. Carry you.
And that's the only way we're going to make it and survive. So I'm exploring that further because it was a successful song for me as a songwriter and as an expression of kind of just that longing to provide something to people.
Mm. Well, that kind of is my next question: is what's next? What's next? You've done this. You've kind of stepped out off the off the pier, jumped out there on your own.
Yeah, I think definitely touring and continual writing. Definitely as a songwriter, I'm growing and learning all the time. And as that example, I would love to kind of continue and stretch myself into new territories and perhaps provide comfort for not just the brokenhearted in love relationships, but in a broader spectrum. So lots of writing and touring ahead.
Okay, great. And I think you've got something that you want to play for us as we go out, I think. Got
sure.
One more thing?
Yeah, we got one more thing. We'll do Starlight.
Okay. Rachel Yamagata's new album is called Chesapeake. It's available now. It's on her new label, Frankenfish. And she was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studios to share a couple songs with us. Rachel Yamagata, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. We loved it.
See a thing tonight, not one star, not one star shone the field. I couldn't see a thing tonight, not one star, not one.
And that's
star
our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bracton Booker, Bridget DeShagas, Eamon Malone, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, Amy Ta, and Sarah Ventry. Our intern is Malik Washington. Our directors are Monica Evstatieva and Arjun Hutchins. Our editors are Alicia Montgomery and Ahmad Omar, with help this week from Lori Grant. And special thanks to NPR's librarians. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Neil Tivault. He had a hand this week from Sean Phillips. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. Our executive producer is Tashima Walker. And to tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can find our podcast there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.